Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and don't look now, but as the Republican establishment looks for an electable alternative to Donald Trump, guess who got the coveted endorsement yesterday of the New Hampshire Union Leader newspaper for the coming Republican primary?
Christie is the guy who can take the fight to Trump, Hillary, ISIS.
That is Joe McQuaid, publisher of the New Hampshire Union Leader on Meet the Press yesterday. Let's talk to our own Christie tracker, Matt Katz, from WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio and host of the Christie Tracker podcast. Hi, Matt.
Hi there, Brian.
So, boom, in a season when Christie has been an also-ran, didn't even poll high enough for the main stage in the last Republican debate, why is the most important newspaper in the most important primary state choosing him?
Seems to have a lot to do with Paris. And in this post-Paris world, he is emerging in some corners as the guy that Republicans believe is best positioned to lead the country against ISIS. It's pretty remarkable. I mean, if you look at his – he doesn't have military experience. He doesn't he's never had a position on the national level in terms of fighting terrorism, like maybe Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State. But what he does have is two things. He was U.S. attorney in New Jersey prosecuting terrorism cases in the wake of 9/11. He has actually used the Patriot Act. And the second thing he has, I think, is a little bit less tangible, and that's that he just seems tough. And in this moment when particularly conservatives are looking for somebody to express America's toughness on the world stage, he seems to embody that the most. And there appears to be a little bit of momentum behind Christie because of that.
And he's got his personal story of his wife going to work at the World Trade Center that day, and he didn't know for 5 hours or so if she was alive, and that's touching people too. But on the toughness, I want to play a clip of Christie, 1 minute long, in Florida on November 14th. This is the day after the Paris attacks. And listen to how he goes right from terrorists as lawbreakers to President Obama as a lawbreaker, too, in these 60 seconds.
It really is, because Americans seem to be fed up with Washington, and they're looking for somebody.
Sorry, my mistake. That I queued up the wrong clip. Let's go to clip of Chris Christie. My error, forgive me. And let's get that Chris Christie clip queued up. And here we go now with Christie. You see that 1 minute Christie strong president? You see that one? It's right there. It was at the bottom of that list. It's there. All right. There it is. Yeah, that's it. No. Let's go to – this is called B5. Right. And here we go. My apologies, folks. I told our board operator to play the wrong clip. Now I'm telling him to play the right clip. Christie on the day after Paris.
We must never allow this cult of evil to take hold in our country or to live amongst us. It is the antithesis of what it means to be a free American. On a day like this, we all see the desperate need for strong leadership. But what does it mean to be a strong president? See, this government was designed and built to protect America and to protect American interests. And if we don't get that right, we can't truly be strong. Always upholding and respecting our constitutional principles, which starts with our sovereignty and our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When terror dogs us, happiness is not possible. Of course, that means law and order must be respected. And it must be respected to ensure that our way of life continues. Today, we see special interests working to subvert our rule of law at our border, with a lack of drug enforcement, and through brazen executive action by a lawless president of the United States.
And by that, I guess he meant the executive order allowing undocumented immigrants to stay in this country. Matt, is that the kind of thing a Christie candidacy post-Paris would bring to the fore? The terrorists are outlaws, and so is President Obama?
It is a continuation of this theme that he's been pushing since the late summer, when he sort of retooled his message to be the law and order guy. And it kind of flows, at least the way he tells it. And we've seen it having some effect in New Hampshire. He talks about other things, the immigration that the president hasn't enforced the law on. He talks about marijuana legalization in places like Colorado and Washington, that anybody can do anything in America under President Obama, and the country needs law and order again. So he touches all these various issues with this one theme, and it has some resonance in New Hampshire. I'm actually up here right now, and this afternoon he's going to be endorsed by a bunch of law enforcement officers. I've spoken to cops up here who say that both the law enforcement message and the fact that he's talked about the heroin epidemic, which is just really atrocious up in New Hampshire, have made him appealing to those who are concerned about law enforcement, not just cops, but others, older conservatives who believe that the country is sort of out of control. There's a sense that the world and the country under Obama is out of control, and he's the one who can, bring back law and order.
So if he's saying that President Obama is a lawbreaker, he's also said that he wouldn't just defeat Hillary Clinton, he would prosecute her. Hasn't he said that?
Yeah, he does. He said a prosecutor is needed to go after Hillary Clinton, and that's why he should be nominated and put on the stage with her. No mind that he actually has never actually prosecuted a case, even though he was technically a federal prosecutor. But I imagine that he believes that he'd do a pretty good job on a stage with her. It's interesting. I mean,
but
I don't
does
know
he
if...
mean it literally? Like there was something about the emails or something?
Yeah. No, he says he believes that she committed a crime and should be investigated by the FBI, and he believes that she's guilty. He has said that. And he believes that, he would go, he talks about going up on stage with her in the fall if he's the nominee and just, prosecuting the case that she obstructed justice and committed violations against our national security secrecy laws. And he talks about that openly. I mean, when he has been asked as governor, hey, there's this mayor in this town who's been charged with this, what do you think about that? He always says, I never talk about politicians who may be in trouble until, they are convicted of a crime. But in this case, he has already convicted Hillary for all intents and purposes.
Here is more of New Hampshire union leader publisher Joe McQuaid on Meet the Press yesterday on this big endorsement of Christie. He dismissed Rubio and Cruz because they are first term senators. And this is particularly relevant because Rubio, many people have said, is the real alternative to Donald Trump and Ben Carson and Ted Cruz, who's such a radical. So Rubio is supposed to be the rising star. And this newspaper may have single-handedly started a Rubio-Christie race for the real alternative to the more fringy candidates. So McQuaid concluded that President Obama's lack of experience coming into the presidency from that same position as a young first-term senator kind of disqualified Rubio in this newspaper's opinion. And he likes that Christie's way of speaking is a little Trump-like. He says in this clip that it's a good thing.
It really is, because Americans seem to be fed up with Washington, and they're looking for somebody who speaks with the bark off, as we say in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And I think Christie does that, but as we said in the editorial, he does that knowing what he's talking about, as opposed to some others who don't.
And as far as Bridgegate, McQuaid says when it comes to Christie, it doesn't show very much.
It shows that it's a big state, and he's weathered that. There are a couple of people who are under indictment. Nothing has tied Governor Christie to Bridgegate. I asked him when this trial is likely to happen. He said it's supposed to be in the spring. He suspects for some reason it will be in the fall. But I don't think they're going to lay a glove on Christie, because I don't think he had anything to do with it.
Matt Katz, you have covered Christie and Bridgegate so closely. You've said on this show, as you followed Christie on the stump, that it doesn't seem to ever come up among Republican primary voters. What would you say, or how would you contradict, if you would, Joe McQuaid's analysis?
Well, he could be first of all, the trial is scheduled for April 4th. This was news to us when Christie apparently told this publisher that the trial will be in the fall. Either way, if they want him to be the nominee, there is a very good possibility that he could be called to testify. Do Republicans want to nominate somebody who could be called to testify in a criminal trial about a political revenge scheme, a bizarre political revenge scheme in the middle of an election? I think dismissing Bridgegate as being over and not touching Christie and not mattering is naive at this point. I mean, there is still a lot of new details that we could learn in the course of a trial. Already there are questions about why we've only seen one text message ever from Christie in terms of either related to Bridgegate or related to anything in his administration. One email has been released from Bridgegate. None of his text messages possibly related to Bridgegate have been released. And these sorts of questions, particularly in a Hillary matchup, if he's going after her over email, could certainly dominate a media cycle. If he's called to testify in Newark at a federal criminal trial, that would be something else. So I don't think conservatives, if they're looking for the most electable candidate, should immediately be dismissing Bridgegate, even though you're right, it does not really come up among voters in the early primary states.
So politically, is this New Hampshire union leader endorsement a game changer? You sent me a brief history of the union leader endorsements versus who won the primary, and we see Reagan in 1980 at 43% in the polls before the endorsement. He wound up getting 50% of the vote that year. 1988, Pete DuPont, who wound up at 11%, losing to George H.W. Bush. Pat Buchanan, right. They had a big effect, apparently, helping Pat Buchanan win the New Hampshire primary in 96. Steve Forbes, meh, in 2000. John McCain, they definitely helped in 2008. So what do we make of it?
Nate Silver did this interesting analysis 4 years ago of what this endorsement means, and he couldn't definitively find a causal relationship between the endorsement and the popularity of the candidate or what it meant to the candidate. But it does appear that when the candidate was polled about the time of the endorsement, they got an 11-point bump once it came to election time. And Christie, if he were on average over the last 35 years in the competitive races, so if he gets an 11-point bump, if he gets that significant of an increase in the polls, I mean, he could be in, you know, second or third place, and that would be huge. And I think what it also does is it just has tertiary effects. So, for example, for the first time in this campaign, a few minutes before we got on the air, Donald Trump tweeted some shade at Chris Christie. The first time he's attacked him by name in this campaign, he wrote, "How is Chris Christie running the state of New Jersey, which is deeply troubled when he is spending all of his time in New Hampshire? New Jerseyans not happy."
Here we
exclamation
go.
Exclamation point.
Here
so
we go.
And that has to be, there must be some relationship there between the buzz that Christie has both been getting in some of your mainstream media outlets in the last week, New York Times, Washington Post, Time Magazine, plus this endorsement yesterday must have, you know, made Trump maybe a little bit fearful that Christie's encroaching here. So I think that's an indication, if there is any, that the front runner is trying to push him down a little bit.
Last question before you go. Let me throw this in. Patrick Hobbs has been named the athletics director at Rutgers after the football coach and the athletic director were fired over the weekend after player scandals and all kinds of things. This is a person who you reported on as part of the Christie ethics investigations, right?
That's right. We looked about 6 months ago at what Christie had done in the wake of Bridgegate. He had talked a big game after Bridgegate that he was going to fix the ethics problems in his office. And the main thing he did was hire an ombudsman. And the person he chose was Patrick Hobbs, who he's known for many years, was actually on his transition team. And this was he was at the time the head of Seton Hall Law School, where Christie graduated from. And at the time, we questioned it because it was the ombudsman was supposed to be somebody he wasn't directly, you know, didn't directly have a relationship with. But he did have a relationship with this guy. And then we looked at what Hobbs did. He didn't have an office in the governor's office. He made $75,000 a year. He was supposed to issue periodic reports about ethics in the governor's office that were to be released publicly. He never did that. He also never rewrote the office's text and email policy as he was supposed to do based on the report that the governor's office put out after Bridgegate. So he kind of and I asked his office yesterday, did Hobbs do anything? Did he have any sort of material that we could see, any work product from his time as ethics ombudsman in an office that was clearly deeply troubled by ethical problems? And they never got back to me. So now he's the new athletic director at Rutgers. But so all we really know about him is that he's a Christie loyalist and has been brought into another situation where he's supposed to clean up the mess. Because clearly Rutgers athletics has been having some controversies over the last couple of years. So we'll be watching.
Go Scarlet Knights.
Yes.
And go Matt Katz, WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio's Christie Tracker. You can hear his Christie Tracker podcast as well. After events of the last few days in the Republican race, we'll have a few more appearances between now and the New Hampshire primary. Talk to you, Matt.
Sounds great, Brian. See you.